This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
You like that one?
You like that?
It was clever.
You like that?
Right now,
Jason Leisure, Dan Wiederer, they're just sharpening knives.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
That's Potsy's way. Like, if you ask him anything. I remember I once asked him if he was more of a... Because I saw that he had some kind of animal hair or fur on his jacket or something, or his hoodie. And I remember asking him if he had dogs or cats. And Potsy goes, that's too personal.
He is so
engaging and friendly and lovable to everybody in that media room, except for me and Patrick Finley. Maybe that's why he took the buyout.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He does a great job doing it. It's been an interesting week. We like talking to him about everything that is NFL and the Bears, and he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hey, Mr. Leisure, how are you?
What's going on, Loho? We got Matt with us, too?
Yeah, there he is.
I'm right here. Thank you. Thank you for asking and noticing. God love you, Mr. Leisure. We're all here. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing really well, I think, and we're going to be off to Vegas tomorrow after we do the midday show. They were nice.
Why
enough.
Do I never get to go? You guys do this all the time, and there's never been any kind of, hey, do you want to come with?
I didn't feel like Vegas is your type of town, but I
love Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't really gamble or party or any of those fun things, but the weather's always good. The hotels are awesome, and the restaurants are awesome.
Wait a minute. Wasn't your last trip to Las Vegas you staying at the Tropicana as it was, like, ready to be bulldozed the next day or something like that?
It was the very end. It was the final days of the Tropicana. And when I say the hotels are awesome, I don't mean the Tropicana, although that is the one that I have most frequently stayed at because it's a Hilton property, and I have Hilton rewards or whatever, but... Matt, I was staying at the Tropicana, kind of on the south end of the strip, across from the castle one. What's the castle one?
Excalibur,
yeah. The medieval
Excalibur
one. And
Excalibur.
They were demolishing it
Excalibur.
After after that week. And you could tell. Everybody had pretty much checked out. It rained. This was Super Bowl week last year. It was pouring rain all week. I've never seen that in Vegas. And it was dripping through the ceiling. And nobody even like put a bucket out in the hallway for it. It was It was apocalyptic.
Yeah, but there's something uniquely American about a decay when it's surrounded by all of the Vegas absurdity. Like, there's just, it really is. It really speaks to our decline as an empire while bigger and shinier things are going up right next door.
Have you ever seen those eerie photos of defunct Olympic venues?
Oh, yeah. Like in Salt Lake City and...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was like living inside one of those for 10 days.
Oh, yeah, man. Those. And have you ever seen the photos of like old theme parks that have been overgrown? That's... Woo, talk about uniquely American. But you know what else is uniquely American? Wait for it, everybody. The Chicago Bears are uniquely American. Thank you very much. Drive safely, everyone.
Does America want that to be American? I mean, is America happy when that's on their TV on Monday night or Thursday night or Sunday night?
They will be this year. They will be happy this year, my friend. It's coming. It's coming. And we spent a lot of time talking about the defensive line last hour, and like Dio Odengbo as a stout defensive end who can, you know, swallow up some pressure in terms of holding his ground and let some Dennis Allen creativity going around him to bring pass rush. If he's not bringing the pass rush himself, he can still be a part of it with some defensive creativity. What's the perfect kind of D lineman to add to this mix? Should the Bears be going that way with their first pick in the draft? What's the perfect kind of D lineman to add in?
Well, I would go left tackle with the first pick, with the number 10 overall pick, and then I would look for defensive line help in the second round. But if you want to go, you know, defensive tackle early, that's not crazy. That wouldn't be my priority. The Bears have all these top priorities. You can't have multiple top priority. You can't be all of these things are our top priority. You got to pick one. And I would say that left tackle is the one that they should most quickly and successfully address. But if you want a defensive tackle, you need one that's going to get pass rush pressure. They've gotten, if you've watched their defensive line, which has been the worst in the NFL over the last 3 years, has had the fewest sacks in the NFL, they're not getting pressure from really anywhere but Montez Sweat. You have to be forcing pressure from every part of that offensive line. You have to have somebody opposite Montez Sweat, and you have to be making some headway in the middle.
You wrote about offseason spending in the Sun-Times and all of the things that it's done and how it has to – you have to make sure that all of that works to elevate Caleb Williams. When you really went back and dissected it, how did you feel – about what they've done and whether it will put Caleb in a better position to learn and win?
I think with every team, you're looking when they bring in a bunch of talent in the offseason or spend a lot of money in the offseason, you are looking at a best case scenario, which is usually what the team imagines, and then a worst case scenario, which is incredibly pessimistic, and it's probably not going to be either one. It's probably going to fall somewhere in the middle. It's not likely that all five of these guys that they brought in on big contracts are all going to stay healthy and perform up to those contracts. But if it's mostly right, and especially as it pertains to Caleb Williams, if it's right with the three offensive linemen, if Jonah Jackson is really the player that he used to be in Detroit and not the player who was injured last year trying to play center for the Rams, and if Joe Tooney still has everything in the tank and is still just as good as he's been the last few years, even though he's 32, I think, when the season starts, then that's huge for Caleb Williams. It totally changes the equation for him. But everything affects Caleb Williams. And if you have a bunch of the, indirectly or directly, if you have a bunch of these signings or acquisitions, even if they're on defense, that don't play up to the contract, then that hurts you in other ways, and it'll hurt you on game days in the sense of you don't want Caleb Williams playing from behind all the time, which is what he ended up doing a lot last year, and you're in obvious passing situations all the time, which is probably the hardest thing in the NFL, is to complete passes consistently in obvious passing situations. And you also are kind of, you're wasting salary cap dollars that are really, really important.
You know, he did a great job in the fourth quarter last year, and a lot of those times in obvious passing situations. So that gives me some hope in that regard. But it's going to be a fascinating dynamic, Jason. I think we're going to end up focusing, it's odd to say, but a lot more on Caleb's learning curve as it relates to winning this year, because I think they're going to like really try and do what they should have done last year, which is to trust him to make big plays when he can, but really just kind of let the offense do its thing in terms of running the ball and let the scheme do its thing. And really, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Caleb to make really good choices within structure. And we haven't seen him be forced to do that often because of how chaotic things often were last year. It's going to be really interesting to focus on him in structure this year.
And it's going to be interesting to see how much of a process it is to adapt to this offense for him, because throwing a new offense at a rookie quarterback, or now it'll be his second year, you wonder how much really was gained from that first year. You hope that there was something gained, because you certainly didn't get a lot from the coaching. You hope that there was something gained from the game experience, from seeing Brian Flores' defense twice, even if it didn't go well. One of the games it did, one of the games it didn't. You hope that all the looks, all the ways that veteran defensive players try to trick you by showing one thing and then cutting off a passing route, a passing lane at the last second after you're already releasing the ball. You hope that there's some game knowledge that is built up, but they could end up retooling quite a bit with him in terms of the way he views the game, the throws that are predominantly part of this offense, and footwork and timing and things like that. Obviously, the terminology is going to be all new.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see how quickly he adapts to that, because while that is good for him in the long run, do you want this guy coached by Ben Johnson as opposed to Shane Waldron? But it's a process when you're first learning that offense.
No, absolutely. And this is kind of just as much as going into last year. The thought is that this is a competitive window right now. Like, let's go ahead, kid. So we'll be watching. I wonder if year one in a brand new offense with all this stuff is going to be akin learning curve to the rookie year last year. You know, I wonder if it's going to be similar.
It can't be quite that. I mean, there's so many things you learn. I think it's really going to be similar to that, but with a head start from the game experience. Because one of the things you have to learn as a college quarterback going into the pros is how much quicker defensive backs will close on what looks like an open player. And like the target is smaller, and you have to recognize it quicker. And you learn that some of these throws that you got away with in college are not going to fly here, even against the bad teams. There's just not ever going to be that kind of disparity in talent like there is when you're playing at USC and you're playing Western Colorado State or somebody like that. So hopefully he's banked some of that. And one of the things I like about Caleb Williams, and that makes me like his chances of adapting to this quickly and adapting well, is he's super smart. He's so intelligent, and he's so serious and so hungry to get better that there's no question to me he's going to put in the time and the effort to try to get it. I would have said pretty similar things about Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. Those guys did not struggle because they were screw-ups. They were hard workers and guys that tried to put in the time and the effort to get it, and it just didn't click. So it has to be more than that. You have to be that talented, and you have to be that fast at processing a defense in 2.5 seconds or whatever it ends up being. But I like that Caleb Williams goes into it with some humility and realizing very objectively about his own game that there is a lot of room to grow here.
You've covered the league for a long time. I'd love to know how you view what's happening with both Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins?
I think they're both not as good as they think they are. And I think they're both, especially Rodgers. Rodgers is an aging quarterback, and you really probably should be done in most cases by now. And certainly if not done, clearly in decline. And you look a lot of times at some of the exceptions, like Tom Brady playing well to 45 or something like that, or even some guys like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, were breaking down physically late in their career, but they either had the right talent around them, or they were able to, they were so smart that they could compensate for that for a little while. But it's pretty normal to decline at that age. And Aaron Rodgers is obviously, to me, in decline. If you look at the last few years, between health and his play when he's been healthy for the last three seasons, this is the end.
You know, it's a good point about those other guys who aged gracefully and succeeded. You know what else they had? Really good partners schematically and coaching-wise. Like, you know, Brady getting to work with Bruce Arians, and, you know, and Breeze getting to go as long as he did with Peyton. You know, Aaron thought, I guess he thought he was going to have that with Nathaniel Hackett, but that went boom. So now trying to do it again, like on a one-year deal in Pittsburgh or anywhere, like you got to be personally compatible and a really good teammate. And Lord knows, we know he's not that.
And with those two guys, Spiegs, the same injury. And I know that people, the science has come a long way, and you can get back. But when you're either over 40 or closing in on 40, that particular injury is really difficult to be yourself. And so it always struck me. And Rodgers' numbers are not terrible. That doesn't mean that he played well, but his numbers suggest that he could still be a viable quarterback. But I think that Jason's on it. I think in both cases, you have two guys that have so much invested in themselves that it sometimes makes it difficult for them to see the big picture.
I love that Kirk Cousins is going to be on the second edition of Quarterback, the Netflix documentary, since he had such a star turn in the first. So maybe staying alive, Jason, for one more year on somebody's bench or wherever lets him have another media star turn in the documentary.
Well, it's already filmed, though. So it's going to be like we're going to get to see him get benched for Michael Penix. So it should be very interesting to watch.
It'll be really interesting if they were in the room with him when they drafted Michael Penix. And that, actually, I'd turn that around and ask you guys what you think about that. Atlanta pays him all this money, pays him clearly long-term starting quarterback money, 4 years, $160 million, then turns around the next month and drafts somebody in the top 10. Shock to Kirk Cousins. Nobody clued him in on that until the last second. And now they won't let him go because he's a pretty decent backup plan. And you're not really paying anything for Michael Penix. So $40 million plus not very much for two quarterbacks. Do you think Atlanta has really done him wrong here? Or do you think that's just good business by Atlanta?
I thought it was a really weird move at the time. And I still think that them signing him to big money was terrible. The word on the street is that Kirk doesn't want the Mike Glennon moment, and so he's okay with being traded, but he wants to wait until the draft is done before he moves out here and is like, yeah, you can go ahead and trade me. He wants to kind of pick where there isn't a quarterback necessarily lurking to take the job away from him.
You know the big winner, guys, and all that bad money that's sitting there on Kirk Cousins' contract.
Ryan Pace.
No?
No.
I'm going to say Ryan Poles, because they couldn't afford to sign Drew Dahlman, and they had to cut Grady Jarrett.
Yep.
So the Bears swoop in and get a veteran, proven beast in the middle of both the offensive line and the defensive line because of all that wasted money on Kirk Cousins. So thank you, Atlanta.
I felt like you were thanking Ryan Pace at the draft too, that they snatched up another quarterback that no one was expecting another quarterback to go before the Bears pick, and that
you're right,
Rome Odunze to sit there for them.
You're absolutely right. So Ryan Pace continues to do solids.
I would say on the topic of Aaron Rodgers too, you know, I don't get the impression that he's easy to work with. And
I think that is spot on. And I think
there's
his
a sliding
badness,
scale.
Oh yeah.
There's a sliding scale of how much of that you will tolerate, and it correlates
to how great you are,
how well you can still play. And 5 years ago, I think I would sign up to put up with all the Aaron Rodgers related headaches to win. I think now you're signing up for the headaches, and I don't know if he's still got it.
Jason, as always, we appreciate your time. Love that cap. Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
See you, man. Yeah, that sliding scale of your bag alert, your bag factor, your personal bag factor, as it correlates to your excellence, is one that we have seen play out in a lot of different ways in our sports and media space.
We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk some baseball. The Cubs are actually playing right now. Ben Brown had a nice outing against Atlanta. 4 1/3 was really sharp out there on the mound. There's a couple of different roster moves that were made today that might interest Cubs fans.
Yes, sir.
For
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all of that next here on.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Score.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.